Hi, I'm Susan Lewis. I sat down with Mann Center for the Performing Arts' longtime general manager, Jerry Grabe. He started at the Mann in 1976, 6 weeks before the facility was opened. In previous years, orchestral concerts had been presented by the Robin Hood Dell in East Fairmount Park. I asked him how the Mann Center came to be.
It was built and envisioned to be part of the Bicentennial Program in 1976. So, quite frankly, what Fred did was convince the city, the Park Commission, and I imagine some state funding also here to finance the construction of this building.
So he must have been pretty persuasive. How would you describe Freddie Mann's position in the community?
Well, he was an incredible personality. He'd been an ambassador for the United States. He'd been city representative. He had been the commerce director. So he was well connected, especially with the Democratic Party.
So it opened in 1976. Was it named the Mann Center from the start?
No. When we opened, we were the new Robin Hood Dell West.
So then what happened and why?
I believe in, I want to say 1980, I think, City Council decided that they would name this building in honor of Fred and for his contribution to the city. And that's to the city in general, but specifically here.
I gather he was somewhat of an impresario. He knew a lot of people in the music world.
He knew everyone. Everyone in the music world. And yes, I would say that you had Fred Mann, and also in Philadelphia you had Mose Septee. Both of them could be considered probably the last of what we would truly call an impresario.
So you were working with him from the start of this facility. What was his mission? What was the mission of the Mann? What was his vision?
His vision was that we would be the summer home of the Philadelphia Orchestra, that we would also be able to produce ballet and opera performances here. And essentially that was what he felt this building should be built for. Should be built for what I guess I will call serious music or serious musical theater type presentations.
And do you remember some of the early performers who came through besides the Philadelphia Orchestra?
In 78, we brought in the Metropolitan Opera in the last of what was the full-blown Met tours that they did. We had them here in 78 and 79, I believe. And then they disbanded that touring program. When the Met dissolved that touring program, we then brought in New York City Opera, you know, under Beverly Sills, I believe, was running it at that time. And they performed here for several years. First year we were open, we had Stuttgart Ballet here. We've had great, great performing companies here.
When the Mann opened, there was a deal with the city, I understand, where concerts would be free to the public, but people who were sitting under the shed, at least, would make a contribution, and the city would match the contribution, effectively giving a grant each year.
That's correct, and that's one reason that I wanted to come work here. You know, one reason was I just thought Fred Mann's personality was unbelievable, and I really wanted to work with this guy. And the other reason was I was totally enamored with the free ticket program that they were running. And quite frankly, the third reason was I wanted to work with the Philadelphia Orchestra and have that opportunity, which has been spectacular for me for the time that I've been here. It has just been wonderful. But the way the ticketing program worked, the city would match the contribution levels of all of the people that bought essentially a subscription package for all 18 Philadelphia Orchestra concerts here. And the first season, we had close to 4,000 subscribers to that. And then the city would match the contribution level. What they did was they said, okay, your contribution gives you a reserve seat privilege. Here is the dollar value of that reserve seat privilege. We minus that from your contribution. The rest of it is contributed to the Mann Center.
Now, you say one of the reasons you wanted to work here was Freddie Mann's personality. Do you have any stories or can describe anything that illustrates that?
Well, I can tell you that I only had to call him once and say, I have a problem that I can't deal with. I need you to come out and I need you to help me solve this. And that was the first year, I believe, the Bolshoi Ballet was here. And I was having a problem where they were saying if we didn't do some technical things for them, that they were not going to perform.
What kind of technical things?
They wanted more lights than was on their, essentially on their lighting plot. So Fred came out and he spoke to them in Russian the entire time. So I have no idea what he said, but I have a pretty good idea what he said to them. And it was probably, okay, if you don't play, we're not paying, is probably what he said. I did get some other lighting units in here, but as it turns out, they were to light only the scenery. It had nothing to do with the dancers.
So the mission in the beginning was the orchestra, ballet, opera, serious music, and then it expanded to include pop and rock. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that.
Well, even in the first year, because Mosepti was in charge of, I guess, special projects, I think was his title here. He had spoken to Larry Magid and Alan Spivak at the Electric Factory, and they actually brought in 6 shows, I think, the first year in 76 when we were opened. And then it expanded after that to more and more and more.
And did those shows help with the bottom line?
Oh, it was a typical, rock for Bach, kind of. That was the approach that was taken, yes.
Can you give an example of the types of music?
The first year, I know we had Barry Manilow. I know we had James Taylor, who's played here more than any other popular performer. I know we had Linda Ronstadt. And those are the 3 of the 6 that I really remember.
At some point, 1998, the Mann was changed from the Mann Music Center to the Mann Center for the Performing Arts. What was behind that?
I think that was a decision that was made by the administration then and the board that thought it better defined what we were doing here. We'd also done, by that time, we'd done some Broadway productions here. We'd done the National Tour of Cats. We had the National Tour of Riverdance, National Tour of Rent, and then also had some bus and truck shows that had come into the facility.
What are bus and truck shows?
Bus and truck shows are a kind of scaled-down version of the Broadway productions.
So you had the orchestra, you had opera, ballet, but also rock and pop and Broadway shows. And bring us up to today. What's the scope today?
The scope today is orchestra. Philadelphia Orchestra, of course, is always our primary here. We also have some visiting orchestras that will come in. Pittsburgh Symphony will be in this year. We've worked with the Chamber Orchestra, Philadelphia also. And we do an expanded popular entertainment season. I think the cost of touring opera now, the cost of touring ballet now, have just skyrocketed. And in all honesty, the interest on some of those kind of tours has gone down. And, you know, it isn't economically viable without extensive grants behind it.
I was looking at your mission on your website. It talked about the broad range of programming, arts education, and being a good community member. And it seemed that the man is positioned in today's world to be a great bridge between classical music and the community, because the facility is so welcoming and so appealing.
I think there's a conscious effort here to try to do that. We do it in some of our programming. Tomorrow night, we'll Philadelphia Orchestra will play the score to the film of Harry Potter, the first Harry Potter film. And we are sold out for that. That's 10,500 people, which is a significant audience to hear the Philadelphia Orchestra, in my mind. And hopefully it's a family affair. It exposes younger people to that music. And let's face it, it's good music that they're playing. And this place has always been welcoming and casual. You know, it's never that you had to really put on, you know, even business attire to come here. Some people choose to do that, and that's fine. But certainly, most of our lawn audience is a very casual bunch.
Well, thanks so much for talking to us, Jerry Grabe.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.